If you have your Bibles this evening, find, if you would, the 19th Psalm. Psalm 19 will be our text. We'll stay in this psalm the entire time. Psalm 19. This is a psalm that is written by David, a psalm that I believe is a tremendous follow-up to the message this morning. And David is writing this psalm from a position of being overwhelmed by the goodness and greatness of God. David is writing this psalm from a position of worship in his life. It's a psalm that will reach to the heights of the heavens. It's a psalm that is just pouring and flowing out of his heart and his mind and through his pen, and I'm sure into his voice as he was singing the psalm. And it's a psalm that is written by David, and really, and just a recognition that God knows him. It's a psalm that was written rejoicing that God revealed himself to David. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I know the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God revealed himself through his word, through my parents, through the Spirit of God, through preachers and teachers and so on and so forth. I'm glad that God let me know the truth, that God let me experience the truth, and that he was revealed in my life. David is just humbled by the greatness of God and humbled by the fact that he knows God and is expressing a powerful worship to him that really enables David to come to a very humble position in his life. And it's a position that I hope to bring us to tonight as we leave the service, especially as we were reckoned and faced this morning with the love of God and how forgiving God is and how kind and gracious that God is and how that he's there for us and he restores us and how much that we need him. Two things have dominated David in this revelation of God to him. The first one is mentioned in verse number 1. And if you want to kind of mark up your Bible, you should mark verse number 1. The Bible says that the heavens declare the what class? The glory of God. So the first thing that David is rejoicing in and singing about and worshiping God in the midst is this the great heavens or the creation that God has put that declare his glory. Verse number 7 will give you the second thing that has dominated and permeated David's heart and mind. And verse number 7 says, the law of the Lord, speaking of the word of God. And so two things have so humbled David and it brought it forth out of his life, a spirit of worship and also an understanding of a desire for his own life. And those would be creation and the word of God, the heavens and the law of the Lord. And he writes in the first 6 verses about how the glory of God is seen through nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. We stood last Friday night at that campground, and my responsibility was to bring the evening devotion. And so I was thinking about what would be a great devotion for a father-daughter camp out, and I just thought, let's do creation. And so I stood in the middle of the fire pit before it was lit on fire, which was eerie. Kind of felt a little bit like John Huss. And we read Genesis chapter 1, and we read the creation story. We went to Colossians chapter 1 and saw why things were created and who created them and for the purpose there of the Lord Jesus. And then I had them all lift up their eyes and look into the heavens. And even though it wasn't like it would be way out in the Everglades or somewhere, you could begin to make out the stars, and they were finding the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and so on and so forth. I just said, yeah, it's up there. I couldn't see it, but they saw it up there. And the heavens, for a moment, now at our campground, were declaring the glory of God. And David spent many a nights out under the stars. He spent many a day in God's creation, and it was impactful to him. And by the way, I've experienced that. You've ever seen a beautiful sunrise and say, thank you, God, for the sunrise? And I watch the sun go down in the west and I see the sky light up. I'm like, man, God, that's beautiful. I'll be on the ocean and the waves and the blue sea, and I just say, God, you created a beautiful world. Can you imagine how beautiful heaven will be where there'll be no sin? How beautiful. David says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. He's saying in creation, there is a message that is preached. Now it's unique. Look at verse number 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What he's saying is, creation does preach a message. It does uttereth a speech. There is knowledge to creation. Now, you won't actually hear a voice. In your King James Bible, verse number 3, you see some italicized words. Those words were put there by the translators, not by the Spirit of God per se. And so if you were to eliminate those words, verse 3 would read, no speech nor language, their voice is not heard. Okay, so creation doesn't have a human voice, but it does have a message to preach. Verse number 4. Their line or their rule is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. David is speaking about creation here, which is the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. David is looking at the sun in the daytime. He's looking at the stars in the nighttime. And he says, all of creation preaches the message of the glory of God. If you agree with that, say amen. That's why evolution is so damning. I told you we would stay here, but I lied. Go to Romans chapter 1. Look, if you would, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Creation cries out the God of the gospel. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are, what are those two words, class? Clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made. So creation enables us to understand that there is a creator. Now watch how powerful God believes that his creation preaches a clear message. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what, class? Excuse. Now, you need to hear the gospel to be saved. Paul taught us that. Same book in Romans. But God, in his creative ability in creating the earth created it with such splendor and glory and power that it preaches a message about His power and His Godhead, and creation can let the world know that there is a creator. And if you want to get to know the creator wants to get to know you. That's why evolution is so damning. Evolution denies the creator. Evolution denies the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I have a simple question for you tonight. Do you believe in evolution? You would be shocked how many church-going people believe in evolution. Or they want to take creation and mix it with evolution. If you're in this room and you somewhat believe in evolution, in the origin of man, then you are denying Jesus Christ. Evolution denies Jesus Christ. Okay? Second thing I'd like to say. Be careful what your kid is learning in their school. Be careful. I understand parents have responsibility to see that your kid is educated. And if you're going to put your kid in a place where they teach evolution, even if they teach it as a theory, even if they teach it as weak in your mind, if they're teaching evolution, understand you've got your kid there being taught to deny Jesus Christ. If you have your kid in a place where they're hearing evolution, then you as a parent had better battle that in your home. Okay? Now, follow up to that is, can you battle it? Can you take this Bible and can you deny evolution? Well, Pastor, nobody can. I can. And I'm a nobody. Okay? I can do it with the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did man get here? Man didn't evolve. God took dust of the ground and formed a man's body. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. How did we get women? Well, they evolved over millions of years. I'll just leave that alone. No. God caused a deep sleep on Adam, and God took out his rib, and God formed a woman. Male and female created he them. Ask your kid. Just go home and ask your kid, do you believe in evolution? See what they say. Are you taught evolution? Yeah. What do you think about evolution? Well, you know, God did his part, but we evolved and this or that. You better know what your kids are learning. Amen? Okay. So David says, creation declares the glory of God. Paul said it declares the power of God, that so that a man is without excuse when he stands before God. David is humbled by this declaration and this revelation. And then he's also mindful of the word of God. In verse number 7, he begins now to say there's even a grander revelation of the Lord, and that's through the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Now, creation's not perfect. When God created the world, it was perfect, but sin brought the creation under a curse. But there's no curse on the Word of God. So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, that's another word for the Word of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the what? The simple. And so the same way that creation declares the glory of God, The law of the Lord declares, the word of God declares the glory of the Lord. It's a perfect declaration. It has a power to convert the soul. The word of God is sure, making wise the simple. Now here, I want you to understand this, because you're going to face a time in your life when you stand on the word of God, when you're going to be declared ignorant, or where you're going to be looked at to not be mainstream, or to be old-fashioned, or to not be up with the times. But I've got news for you. The wisdom of this book is eternal wisdom. Okay? So you got to, in your home, and in your own understanding, in your own security, you've got to anchor your soul to where you don't care what the rest of the world says. This word has the power to give wisdom to the simple. I don't care how many degrees a person has. The word of God trumps that. And let me go back to education. I went to college. Really, Pastor? I did. I graduated. Okay. I went to college and I graduated. Now, where was I going with this illustration? I know where I was going with this illustration. I went to a Christian college. But even in that Christian college, there was professors there that were teaching a little off base. And as a young man, I would sit in those classes and I could feel the authority of the professor, the intimidation of the professor. And the professor is coming against my belief. He's coming against my church. He's coming against my home. He's making me feel like I don't know the depth or the meaning of this word or this or whatever. And I could almost feel, and I did, I got turned a little bit. I remember going home one Christmas and I told my dad, I said, "Dad, that verse is in the Bible, but it doesn't mean what it says." And my dad said, "You're stupid." That's what he said. He said, he said, "How in the world can you tell me that the Bible doesn't mean what it says? Who are you listening to?" And I thank God for my dad. My dad is a simple man, but my dad is a very wise man because he's on the Word of God. The Word of God will bring wisdom to you. Trust it. Don't be afraid of it. And you better be able, parents, when your kids come in and they want a direction in your home or they want a direction in their life, you better be able to give them the Word of God that shows them the light you're following. David goes on in his description. He's just humbled by what the glory of God revealed in the Word of God. He says in verse number 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right." You want to know the right way? Find the Word of God. "Well, Pastor, that's just, the Bible's so rigid." Well, verse number 8, David said, "The statutes of the Lord are right," and they do what to the heart, class? They rejoice the heart. Man, do we need a rejoicing heart in our world today? "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Our world is looking for all kinds of ways to enlighten itself. And if you can find the next gadget or gizmo to enlighten, you'll be a billionaire. Does a pretty good job of enlightening our eyes. "The fear of the Lord is clean." I like that. "Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Do you love truth? I think David was so humbled by this too. He was humbled by the fact that God would reveal himself in truth. "Well, Pastor, there's no such thing as truth." Well, the Bible says there's someone called truth, and his name is Jesus. The Bible says the Word of God is truth. Well, truth is relevant. Well, I got news for you. Truth may be relevant to you, but truth to God has been revealed. You can screw with truth all you want to. Twist it, manipulate it, do whatever you want to do so you can sleep. But one day, the books will be open and the truth will be revealed to you, and you will know that Jesus is right. enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, David said, in learning this, he said, there are more to be desired, verse number 10, are they than gold? Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, I see some teenagers here tonight, and I appreciate seeing the young people. I want to make a statement to the young people that are in this room. Young people, when you look at your home and you look at your mom and dad in your home may not seem to be rich to you. You go to school and you've got friends and they've got certain things or they have certain things or they do whatever. And it's very easy for a young person to begin to compare in their mind their homes. But I want you to know something. If you have a home and you have a parents or you have parents or a parent that desires godliness more than they desire gold, you live in a rich home. You live in a rich home. If you think rich people and riches are the answer to life, then you come walk with me a little bit. Let me take you to some homes. The homes that are rich are the homes that desire the Word of God. And if you've got a mom and dad that love the Word of God, you've got a rich home. He says that it brings a sweetness to the home. David realizes that in the Word of God, in verse number 11, he says, moreover, by them, by the law of the Lord, by the judgments of God, by all of those things, is thy servant warned. There's protection in the Word of God. And there is protection in the Word of God. Now, I want to make a statement about my message this morning. I told you this morning that a lot of times people get the understanding that they've destroyed their life. And I said that in Jesus Christ, no life is destroyed. And we agree with that and we believe that. But you can scar your life. You can scar your life. Sometimes my prayer for when we dedicate a child is that that child will come to know the Lord Jesus at the earliest age possible and that they will be spared a life of scarring. You know, scars never heal. I got a dumb scar on my chin from playing basketball, and at least three times a month when I'm shaving, shoom, I hate that thing. And I look in that thing, I see that scar. I got a scar in my leg from when I was 12 years old. I fell down and a stick went through my leg. I have a scar on this knee when I was playing kickball in my grandma's yard and some idiot had broke a pop bottle and I slid into first base and it cut my knee. And my dad, being the doctor that he is, just pour some, what do you call that stuff? Peroxide on it. You'll be okay. Well, I got a big old scar. Physical scars don't heal, but emotional scars don't heal easy as well. And your life is not destroyed, but the Word of God knows and leads in the proper way of life. And if you will follow the Word of God and you will let the Lord lead you, He will guide you. And I'm not saying you won't go through tough times or trials, but I'm saying this, that there's warning there, there's direction there, there's protection there. David's just overwhelmed that he has direction in his life, and David messed up tremendously, but he had protection and direction from the Word of God to keep him from going further. Verse number 11, he says, not only is there protection in that, but in keeping of them, there is great what? Reward. Listen, there is tremendous reward to holiness and obedience to the Lord in a life that is under the authority of the Word of God. I mean this. I hope you can understand this. And I hope you mean this too. I don't regret becoming a Christian. I think the Christian life is the greatest life somebody could live. Pastor, don't Don't you feel like you're handcuffed in the Christian life? I feel so free in the Christian life. I could dance. You would puke. Pastor, don't you just feel restricted? Are you kidding me? Do you understand what kind of slave master sin is in our life? I don't have to run to alcohol every time. I'm not bound by some addiction. I don't have something that does all those things. I have a freedom in the Lord to know true joy. David said, man, God has revealed himself in the Word of God. And I found protection there. I found reward there. Verse number 12. It enables me to understand my heirs. Who can understand his heirs? And then in verse number 12, David now begins to appropriate himself to this revelation. And David begins now to humble himself. And the glory of God that's been revealed through creation, the glory of God that's been revealed in the law of the Lord, and this is David's position. He wants God in verse number 12 to cleanse thou me from secret faults. David says, man, God, I want to be right with you. Even where I don't know that I'm wrong, I want to be made right. Verse number 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. What are presumptuous sins? Those are sins that presume upon the will of God. A presumptuous sin would be like, well, I'm going to walk down I-95, and if I get hit by a car, that's God's will. You're a fool. That's not God's will. You know what presumptuous sins are? Presumptuous sins are people wanting to do what they want to do and then blaming God when it doesn't go right. I'm going to go do my will and stop me if you dare. So I'm going to go this way. Well, God didn't do anything to stop me. No, God's just going to let you go do what you want to do. David said, man, God, you revealed yourself. I don't want to do what I want to do. Keep me from presumptuous sins. I want to follow you. He said, let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then verse number 14, all of that was introduction. Here's the message. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This morning I asked the church, are you a cursing Christian? Can a Christian curse? I guess. It's in the Bible. We've all done it. Can you be a cursing Christian? Can you be a Christian pornographer? Can you be a Christian alcoholic? Can you be a Christian liar? It's funny. We want to attach Christian to everything we do. The problem is, God only attaches Christian to the people who know him. And David has got this position where he's humbled by the revelation of God through creation, humbled by the revelation of God through his word. And David says, now God, I want my mouth, and I want my heart, and I want everything about my life to be acceptable to you. Now watch this. In thy sight. Now where does God see? Everywhere. So David said, God, in my public life, in my private life, in my home, at work, in my house, on a trip, wherever you can see, God, I want my heart and my words to be acceptable to you. Why would he want that? Because you've declared your glory. You've given me the word of God. You've done so much for me that I want to be pleasing in thy sight. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be pleasing in his sight as well. I hope you are. If not, then you should humble yourself allow him to bring you to that position. Shall we pray?